You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
Before I start my sermon today, I just want to tell you a little story that actually ties up a little bit in it. When I gave birth to my children, my daughter got all the art and my son got none. My husband believes he gave his art to my daughter. I seriously believe I gave all my art to my daughter because I cannot draw a stick man to save my life. But for some reason, I decided I'm going to do color by numbers, right? And bear with me. I'm going to get to it. You're going to see it's going to fit into the sermon. And I ordered this beautiful picture of Jesus holding a little sheep. And when the picture arrived, I put it in my room. And for many, many days, I didn't even touch the paintbrush or look at the picture because I'm not going to get this right in the first place. Jesus is going to look so smudged. And what am I going to do if I smudge his face because I have one chance to get this right? And the numbers are really small. I don't know who's done paint by numbers in the house, amen? The beautiful part about this whole story I'm telling you is we have an iPhone. And when we cannot see, we can actually take a photo and we can make it bigger, that we can see what colors need to be in what little section, amen? So last night I'm painting and it's an hour late and I said to my husband, it's going so slow, I've done one cloud. I've never even got to Jesus' face or I haven't even got to the little sheep. And there's so many little sheep that are all white and the canvas is white. So you need to pray for me even more, amen? But while I was spending time there, the Lord was just talking to me because I had my AirPods in and I was just running scripture through my heart. And he said, many times you look at your life and you're busy with the number 12. And you don't see the full picture because all you're seeing is the number 12 and every number 12 doesn't make sense. But if you keep going, you're going to eventually see the story that I'm busy with. Amen? As I was painting, I was like, I still have paint on my hands. I couldn't get all the paint off because I don't know what artists do to remove paint off their hands, okay? But then this morning I looked at my hands and I was preparing and I said, Lord, but my hands are still full of paint and I have to praise and worship and greet like people and I have to preach. And Jesus said to me, that's exactly how my presence must be. When you start spending time with me, it has to be so tangible on your hand that you can't get rid of it. Amen. And then I started going with my sermon and I realized that every one of us are fighting a battle. Every single one in this room is coloring in some other color on their picture. Amen? Somebody is on a number 12 and somebody's on a number 5, but every one of us is fighting a battle in the room. Some of us are standing for our marriage. Others are standing for our children. Others are standing for our business. Others are trusting God for healing in your body. The truth is life has a way of testing our faith. Amen? Can you say amen, ladies? Life has a way of testing our faith. And then there are moments when we are so full of strength. When I started that painting, I was going to finish it last night. I was going to be done because we don't go to bed with something unfinished. And all I got done was a cloud last night in an hour. Amen? And it wasn't a big cloud. Amen? But there are moments when we are full of strength. When I picked up that first paintbrush and I'm like, I'm going to paint this picture finished and I'm going to have my Jesus face staring at me tomorrow morning when I stand up. And you realize it's not always like that because sometimes we even wonder how we're going to take the next step. Because as soon as I started painting, I started realizing, but there's so many colors in a cloud. But I'm so focused on the one color. But here's what I love about God. God isn't looking for perfect people. Because that little line, I said to my husband, what if I go over the line? What if I smudge it? What if the sheep looks funny when I'm done with the sheep? And my husband actually has a lot of art in him, if you don't know. He can really draw. My daughter can really draw. My son and I, we're under grace, amen. Serious grace. If I highlight my Bible, I have to focus, okay? So, but the Lord is so special. He's looking for available people. He's not looking for perfect people that can draw in the lines because it's really hard to stick in the lines because we all are born in this world, a sinful world, amen? When you think of David's mighty men, we imagine fearless warriors who were strong, they were courageous. They were brave. They were victorious. And they changed history. But you know what? That's not the way they began. The Bible tells us that many of them came to David. They were distressed. They were discouraged. They were in debt. Have you read that in the Bible? They carried disappointments. Can I say they were just ordinary people with ordinary struggles? Amen? We're all just ordinary people with ordinary struggles. Yet under David's leadership, they become these mighty men whose names are remembered thousands of years later. Thousands of years later. Isn't that just like Jesus? He takes what the world calls broken and he says, you know what? You're not broken. You're chosen. Amen? You're not broken. Ladies, we are not broken. We are chosen. We are chosen by God to make a difference in this world, to plunder hell and populate heaven. Amen? Ladies, because it's ladies' weekend, I can use Peter, James, and John, and the fishermen, and I can use Paul, and I can use all these wonderful men, but let's use ladies today. Mary Magdalene comes to Jesus very broken, so broken that Jesus had to cast out so many demons out of her. But you know what the beauty of Jesus is? He says, Mary Magdalene, you know what I'm going to do with you? The world says you're broken. I say you're chosen. You are going to be, the day I raise from the dead, when I stand up from the dead, I'm going to give you the message to go tell the boys. Jesus takes what is broken and he makes it chosen. Jesus meets the Samaritan woman. She's got a complicated background, amen? Some of us do. Who feels complicated? Most of the girls. Yes, we do feel a little complicated sometimes, amen? And Jesus takes this lady that feels complicated and he meets her at her place where she goes to get water. But she's getting water in the middle of the day. She's not getting water. Water was actually not being pulled out of the well in the middle of the day. It was more in the evening when it was getting a bit cooler. So this lady was coming at a time that wasn't a usual time. Let me tell you, Jesus knew she's going to be there. And even in an unusual time, Jesus was there. Amen? And he meets her and he changes her testimony. She becomes an evangelist. Can you imagine a complicated lady becomes an evangelist? Evangelism's not complicated. Amen? You come to Jesus, you give your life to him, and you start walking with Jesus. Come heck or high water, you walk with Jesus. Amen? What else does Jesus do? Jesus meets a woman caught in adultery. And her accusers are standing there accusing her in front of Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He actually turns around and instead of shaming and condemning her, he calls her to a new life. This morning, ladies, I want to tell you, God is calling you to a new life. If you feel shamed and condemned, guess what? Our Jesus doesn't see you that way because remember, he doesn't see you broken. He sees you chosen. Amen? Let's talk about the woman with the issue of blood. She is not even allowed to walk among men, among people, among her family. She's been ostracized. She may not even come into the city. And she reaches out and she touches Jesus. And you know what Jesus calls her? Jesus calls this broken woman daughter. This is the God we serve. Because Jesus does not call you by what broke you. Can you turn to someone and say, Jesus doesn't call me what broke me? He calls you by who you belong to. And he takes people like you and me, and he rewrites our story in a different way. Can I tell you something? You know, this God put in my heart last week. Jesus kept telling me, I haven't put down my pen yet. Your story is not finished. You have not put down the pen yet. And I want to tell every single man, woman, child in this building, teenagers, God has not put down the pen of your life yet. He is writing one extraordinary story. Amen? But sometimes you're busy just with the cloud. And you have to get number 12 in that little block. And that's all you see. Because we don't understand who God is. Amen? God is bigger than what we could ever imagine. So can I encourage someone this morning? Your past does not disqualify you. Amen. Every one of us have a past. It does not disqualify you, church. This is good news. Your failures do not define you, and your present circumstances are not your final destination. Amen. Amen. Girls, we need a fire in our souls again. Amen. Because the world tells us we are broken, we are complicated. Amen. Amen, men. But God says you are not broken, you are chosen. If God could raise the mighty men up, a band of broken people, he can certainly do it today. Amen. At Household of Christ, in this church, we believe with all our hearts, every Sunday, lives are changed. Every Sunday, lives are restored. Families are healed by God's grace. People find hope again. Children discover Jesus. While we're sitting here, our children are discovering Jesus in the children's church. Amen. And we believe people are taking the next step of faith. Why? Because Jesus is still changing lives today. Amen. The world measures strength by power. If you had to go into the world now, I would not get a paintbrush and I would not get color by numbers because my strength is zero there. Amen. But luckily, God measures strength by faithfulness. By faithfulness. I will still come show you my picture. Jesus might be done by 2028, but I will come show you my picture. Amen? Amen? You see, a true warrior isn't the loudest person. A true warrior is not the loudest person. A true warrior is one who keeps trusting when life becomes difficult. A true warrior is somebody who keeps trusting when life gets difficult. Church, there'll be a time in every one of our lives that life gets difficult. But a true warrior, a mighty man and woman of God, will keep trusting in those times. Amen? They will keep trusting in those times. It's the one that keeps praying when you haven't got an answer. It's the one that keeps serving when nobody's watching. It's the one that keeps loving when it costs you everything. It's the one who refuses to let go of Jesus. You see, David's mighty men weren't remembered because they were gifted. Remember, they remembered because they were faithful. Today, I want to look at one of them, okay? And I've never preached on this mighty man. He was one of David's three. He was part of the special forces, amen? There were the 30 men, mighty men that David had, and then he had three special forces. And the two other names are Jokanim and Jokanim or Samanim and Nakanim. But I'm speaking about Eliezer this morning, okay? Eliezer. And this one's father was Dodo, and this one's father was blah, blah, blah. You're welcome to go check that out in 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, all right? But I'm going to talk about Eliezer. And I don't know why God had decided that he would write Eliezer's story down. Because my whole sermon today is going about maybe two verses, okay? When I started studying Eliezer, I started seeing, okay, but now where does Eliezer fit in the picture? And where does he come from? And who's his mother? And who's his father? And where did he serve? And at a stage, I was very confused in the Bible because I didn't realize there were actually seven Eliezers in the Bible. Do you know that? So we're not talking about Eliezer, the priest, one of Aaron's sons that took over when he passed on. And we're not talking about Eliezer that looked after the Ark of the Covenant. And we're not talking about Eliezer in one of the small books of the Bible. This Eliezer was specifically one of David's mighty men. All right? And perhaps you've never heard him before, but today you're going to learn about Eliezer. Amen? So heaven made sure that they wrote down the story. Because there's something in it for us, amen? And I want to tell you, it starts in a valley. It starts in a valley. And before we read about Eliezer, we need to understand where Eliezer's battle took place. Because Eliezer was a mighty man who fought a battle, right? And years earlier, a young shepherd boy called David was in this valley of Elah. And across him stood Goliath. All right? And everybody else saw a giant. But David saw an opportunity for God to receive glory. At some other stage in your life, you're going to stand in a valley. and you're going to be facing a Goliath. And when everybody else sees a giant, are you going to be able to see it's an opportunity to give God glory? Amen? David saw an opportunity to give God glory. Everyone else was paralyzed by fear, and David was filled with faith. Think about it for a minute. David saw an opportunity to glorify Jesus. One stone, one giant, one incredible victory. And there's something interesting. And this is where my story starts today. Years later, David finds himself back in this valley. The very same valley where he defeated Goliath. Because this story I'm going to tell you about Eliezer happened in the same valley where David defeated Goliath. Right? The same place where God had once given victory became the place for another battle. It became a place for another battle. Isn't that often true in our own lives? Perhaps God has given you victory over fear, and suddenly fear is knocking at your door. Amen, ladies? Gentlemen, you can say amen if you want to as well. Amen? Right? Perhaps God restored your marriage and suddenly you're facing a difficult situation. Amen? Perhaps God has healed your heart and something happens and old hurts come flooding in. You see, the enemy loves returning to places where God has already given us victory. Can I tell you why? Not because he's stronger, but because he hopes we'll forget how faithful God has been. Amen? He hopes we will forget how faithful God has been. Because the same God who gave you the victory yesterday, guess what? He'll give you the same victory today. Amen? And the same God who gives you the victory today, guess what he'll do tomorrow? Why can I say that? Because Hebrews 13 says, Jesus Christ is the same. Jesus Christ is the same. If he did it before church, he will do it again. Amen? Amen? Yesterday's victories don't remove today's battles. If I've won a battle yesterday, I might have to fight that same battle. David never in his life thought he would be back in that valley to fight another battle after he'd killed Goliath. Do you think he killed Goliath and thought, I can't wait for the next battle in this valley. I can't wait. Give me the giant. Give me five giants. No, he didn't think he's going to land up in this valley again. But so let's read what happened in 2 Samuel 23, verse 9 to 10. You can go read the whole story there. But David was speaking and he said, next to him was Eleazar, son of Dodai, and the Athrahite. As one of the three mighty warriors, he was with David when they taunted the Philistines gathered at Pas Diem for battle. Then the Israelites retreated. But Eleazar stood his ground and struck down the Philistines till his hand grew tired and froze to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day. The troops returned to Eleazar, but only to strip the dead. Listen to me, church. The Israelites retreated. In our lives, when we face giants, when we face battles, even as a church family, when we face something, some of us will retreat. And guess what? They only returned later to strip the dead. So when the times are hard, I'm out of here. And when the breakthrough is here, it's hallelujah. Look what the Lord has done in this place. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? We don't want to be part of those people, right? Amen. The Israelites retreated, but Eliezer stood his ground. And archaeologists think that he stood back to back with David fighting. Him and David in the valley. But the Lord was about to bring about a victory that day. What a powerful picture. Everyone left, but Eliezer stayed. Amen? Can I say something that I believe the Holy Spirit has laid on my heart to remind you of today? Faith isn't proven when everything is easy. Faith isn't proven when everything is easy. When it's easy to worship and when life is wonderful. When it's easy to praise and your prayers are answered. When it's easy to trust and every bank account is full. But what about the times when it's difficult? Amen? Will you still stand? Will you still worship? Will you still trust Him? Will you still serve the kingdom? Here's the beautiful promise. Eliezer stood, but God gave the victory. Amen? 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 Eliezer stood, but God gave the victory. Notice the order. God didn't ask Eliezer to win. He asked him to stand. Many of us today, God is saying, just stand. Just stand. Sometimes we place pressure on ourselves. We place pressure on ourselves. And we say, God, I must carry this. I must make this work. I have to do something. Can I tell you something? Your responsibility, church, is to obey. God's responsibility is the outcome. Amen? Your responsibility is to obey. You know, when you have 100 rand and God says, give 10 rand, you give 10 rand. When you have 100 rand and God says, give 100 rand, you give 100 rand. That's the God I serve. If God says, reach out and go invite someone to Jesus, then you reach out and you win somebody to Jesus. Amen? You don't make excuses. Oh, I'm shy. Oh, it's not really me. How can't wait to occupy every single human being that doesn't know Jesus Christ? Amen? So purpose is not something you invent. I see a lot of young people, they tell me, what is my purpose? Can I tell you, it's not something you invent. It is something you discover in the heart of the one who created you. Your purpose is discovered in the heart of one that created you. And I'll tell you what your main purpose is. Like Eliezer's hand was stuck to that sword, you cling to Jesus. Amen. You want a purpose? You cling to Jesus. Maybe today you're facing a battle that feels overwhelming. Can I encourage you? What did Eliezer have to do? He had to keep standing. Amen? So Ephesians 3 verse 18 says, and after you've done everything to stand. After you've done everything to stand, church, what must you do? Stand. Just keep standing. Amen? Just keep praying. Just keep pitching up. Just keep putting God first at church. Just keep trusting. Just keep praising. Just keep worshiping. Just keep on being faithful. Amen? And then tomorrow you'll see how faithful God is as well. Because you're even being faithful today, you don't see the unseen hand of God. While I was painting and I still don't see the full picture. I just see a little white blob, amen, with a tiny bit of blue in, and maybe some other color, I don't even know what that color's called, but it's also there in my picture, amen, but that's all I'm seeing, but Jesus, my Jesus, is seeing his face looking amazing, amen, hear what I'm saying, but I need to keep looking at his face, church. You see, the Lord still brings about great victories. And 1 Chronicles 23 verse 10 says, the Lord brought the great victory that day. So Eliezer was in the valley. David had been in the valley before, so he knew exactly where that little stream was in the valley where he picked up the 5 stones. And he also knew exactly why this valley was important, because if they didn't occupy the valley, the Philistines had to go via the mountains, the Judean mountains, to get to places. And it was much quicker just to go through that valley. So that valley was contended for all the time. David understood this. Eliezer understood this. But Proverbs 21:31 tells us that the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. Amen? Can I tell you what 1 Corinthians 15 verse 57 says? He says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Let's get back to scripture. Eliezer stands his ground and he strikes the Philistines and his hand grows tired and it freezes to the sword. Think about this for a minute. This wasn't a 5-minute battle. This wasn't a one swing and we're done. Or a one throw of the stone and the Goliath went flying. Amen? This was a battle, hour after hour, strike after strike. They were fighting in the same battle that David had killed Goliath with one stone. The same valley now expected him to stand and fight. You see, every ounce of strength must have been poured into those two moments. The Bible says his hand became so tired that it clung to the sword. It could have been the blood all over his hand. It could have been muscle spasms. Who can hold a sword for hours and hours and... Amen? So can I tell you this morning, church, cling to your sword. This is the favorite part of Eliezer's story. The Bible says his hand clung to the sword. The Hebrew word here is called debak. And you know where else that word was used in the Bible? Can I tell you what that cling word, where it was used? Only two other times. The first time was when the husband had to cling to his wife. And the second time was when God was telling his people to hold fast to him. The only other two times that Hebrew word was used in the Bible, where his hand became one with a sword. Where it doesn't matter how many battles he went through and how much blood was spilled and how much his muscle cramped and how much he actually, I don't think for 1 minute there wasn't a moment where Eliezer thought, oh my heck, how am I going to make it? Amen? I'm going over time. Can I finish, church? Can I finish? This is important. You see, God tells us to hold fast to him. Isn't that beautiful? To become so close to Jesus that nothing can pull you away. So close to his presence that we don't have to live without him. So close to his word that it becomes a part of who you are. The sword wasn't simply in Eliezer's hand. It had become a part of him. And that's God's desire for every believer, that he can become a part of you. Not that we simply carry a Bible, but that the Word of God lives inside of us. Amen? When the Word of God becomes an integral part of your life, guess what? You will find yourself walking and talking with Jesus. Amen? You see, John 5:7 says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will come to pass. If you abide in me and I abide in you. So, when life squeezes us, scripture should come out. When fear comes, the word should come out. When temptation comes, the word should come out. Because the sword has become one with us, remember? It's not something I pick up when I feel like it. When disappointment comes, the word comes. When uncertainty comes, the word comes. Young people, you want to change your life. Love the word of God. Amen? Love the word of God. Because when we spend time in the word, we spend time with Jesus. It's not just a visit on a Sunday. It's our daily bread. Can I encourage you? Don't only open your Bible when life is falling apart. Open it every day. Spend time in his presence. Talk to him. Listen to him. Obey him. Sometimes put the praise and worship music off and just listen. When last have you done that? Where the Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. Because when the battle comes, can I tell you what happens when you spend time in the word? You already are holding the sword. You don't have to go look for your sword. Because you and your sword have become one. Amen? Psalm 19 says the most beautiful thing. It says, Yahweh's words is perfect in every way. How it revives our souls. Yahweh's laws lead us to truth and his ways change the simple into wise. Yahweh's teachings are right and make us joyful. His precepts are so pure. Yahweh's commands challenge us to keep close to his heart. The revelation light of his word makes my spirit shine radiant. Yahweh's decrees are trustworthy, and the fear of Yahweh is pure and enduring forever. Listen to this. It says the rarest treasures of life are found in his truth. That's why God's word is prized like others prized finest gold. You know what the Bible says? He says it's sweeter than honey. sweet words dripping from honeycombs. Amen. I think I should stop there. I think we can go through that whole chapter. I love that chapter so much. Please go read Psalms 19. Okay? So Jesus tells us in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So when he says cling to the sword, ultimately, can I say he's saying cling to Jesus? Cling to Jesus. Hold on to him when life doesn't make sense. Amen? Cling to Jesus. Turn to your neighbor before falling asleep and say, cling to Jesus. Hold on to him when you are tired. Hold on to him when you've prayed for years. Hold on to him when you haven't got the answer. Hold on to him through your tears and through your prayers. Hold on to him when you walk into the promised land. Hold on to him when you're walking in the desert. Can I go on? Hold on to Jesus, because he promised, I will never leave nor forsake you. You know what Deuteronomy says? He says, I will not fail or forsake you, and I will not abandon you. He will not abandon you. Jesus is not one of those that left the fight. He caused the victory. Amen? Jesus says, I'm with you always to the end of age. Church, don't let circumstances determine your grip on Jesus. Don't let your circumstances determine your grip on Jesus. Let Jesus determine your response. When the storms come, cling to Jesus. Ladies, when the valleys come, cling to Jesus. When the mountains come, cling to Jesus. When the miracle comes, because he is faithful. Today, tomorrow, and forever. God brings the victory. This was the end of the passage, and this is my last statement for this morning. God brought the victory. The Bible doesn't say, yes, give the Lord a hand. Amen. The Bible doesn't say Eliezer won the battle. It says the Lord brought a great victory that day. Isn't that encouraging? Eliezer fought, God won. Eliezer remained faithful, God brought the breakthrough. There's such freedom in understanding this. Amen? Because sometimes we carry the weights where we say, if I pray a little harder, if I pray a little more, if I've done something a little less wrong, amen? Then I'm going to become stronger. But the gospel reminds us that our confidence has got nothing to do with this. It has always only been about God. Amen? And our responsibility is to trust him, to obey him, and to remain faithful. To keep standing. And then God does what God does. Amen? Maybe today you're believing for a miracle, a loved one to come home. Maybe you're trusting God for a baby. Maybe you're trusting God for healing in your body, for restoration in your family. Maybe you're trusting God for freedom from anxiety. You know, anxiety is a problem in this world. Can I remind you, the battle belongs to the Lord. Keep trusting. Keep standing. Because God, the God of Eliezer, the God who brought Eliezer, is still working today. Amen. Sometimes he changes our circumstances, and sometimes he changes us while we're walking through them. Oh. But he's always faithful. So in conclusion, as I close this morning, I want to take you back to the picture. Eliezer standing alone with David. Everyone had gone. And his body was exhausted, and his strength was fading, and his hand was cramping. But he was holding onto the sword. I wonder, have you ever felt like that? Maybe you've been standing for many things in your life. Maybe you've been standing to build your business. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you need healing. I want to tell you. Can I say, maybe some of us are here today saying, Lord, how much longer? Does that identify with anyone in the room? How much longer, Lord? If that's your story, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to remind you, don't let go. Don't let go. If we want to give the Lord a hand now, this is a great time to just honor Him, amen? Just honor the name of Jesus. Just honor who God is, amen? Don't let go. 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 Don't let go of your calling. Don't let go of your church. Don't let go of the promises God has given you. Don't let go of the healing scriptures you are speaking over your child. Because I'm telling you, God's word will not return void. Because He promises He can't. And if it returns void, it means God is not faithful, and He is. Amen. Most of all, don't let go of Jesus, because Jesus has never let go of you. Amen. When you're at your weakest, He's at His strongest. You know why I know Jesus never let go of you? Because He never let go of you when He went to the cross. You want proof that Jesus never let go of you? Jesus could have got off that cross and He decided, I'm not letting go. Amen. The cross was the greatest moment where Jesus told us that you are precious to me, you are chosen, you are not broken. When they rejected Him, He loved. When He went through suffering, He chose you. Not once. He chose you through 40 lashes on His back. He chose you through nails in His hands. He chose you through nails in His feet. He chose you through a thorn on His head. God chose each and every one of you over and over and over again. It's time for us to choose Him. Because of His faithfulness, we have hope. We have eternal life. And we can expect that our battle will end. Amen. Maybe the song my son sang, he said, even if you don't, will you still praise Him? Even if my timing for my picture is not perfect, but God sees it as perfect, is that okay for now? Is that okay for now? I want to tell you, Eliezer's hand was on the sword, but God's hand was on the outcome. God's hand was on the outcome. Amen. And amen. May God be glorified.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.